Thank you all for joining us for Third Thursday, January 15, 2026. This is a session on low vision primarily, and Diana Leonard has really put it together. And Simon Miner, who has just become a BSCB member and a member of our communications committee, and his wife also will be assisting. So take it away, Diana. And what we'll do is let's all mute while they do presentation, and then you all say when you want to break for questions. Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Sure. So I'm gonna pass this off to Simon since he's going to be doing the first part of it. And then when he's done, I am going to talk about ACB's low vision affiliate. I have some exciting news to share about that.
Great. Well, thank you everybody for the chance to chat. This presentation will be about a low vision assistive technology device called Case for Vision. It was developed by a gentleman named Igor Feinberg, who was planning to be here tonight, but is indisposed. He's not feeling well, unfortunately. So I'm pinch hitting for him. Igor and I work close together. He's been in the assistive technology business for many years and invented this tool as a way to provide really good magnification assistive tech to people who have iPhones or iPads right now, though Android is on the roadmap. This tool fits with your iPad and is priced very competitively with relation to in comparison with other similar tools. So we just wanted to take a couple minutes and share with you how it works. But before we do, I'm just curious, how many of you use your iPhones or your Androids or your tablets to magnify things? Just curious if that's something that's common or no.
I do, Diana. I use my iPhone. I also have an iPad, but the phone is just it's smaller. Like for me, it's just easier to like it's more portable handheld to use as a magnifier.
Thanks.
Anyone else? You can unmute and speak.
This is Nona. I have occasionally used the magnify function with my phone, but what I tend to do is when I'm on my iPad is I don't really use it with the iPad. I would just use it with the phone.
All right.
All right. Well, I wanted to start. My wife Melanie is here. You're going to see her hands in a minute, so that's good. I wanted to show though the I use the iPhone magnifier as well, and so Melanie is on the screen displaying my phone with the magnifier app activated over a piece of literature about case for vision. It's just a printout. And so here, I noticed that for me, having the magnifier that I could move around was helpful, but it was a little overwhelming because my particular low vision condition called nystagmus means that I have to move my head around to mitigate my eyes bouncing. And so between moving my hand back and forth, up and down, trying to move the paper or the thing I'm trying to magnify underneath it, and my own finding my own null point to minimize my nystagmus, it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of mental energy. So maybe you've experienced that as well. I don't know if when you guys are using your magnifiers, do you hold them like this, or do you prop them up on books or some sort of kickstand or anything like that? What methods do you use to make that feasible for you?
I usually myself, I just hold it. I don't put it on a stand or anything or prop it up.
Yeah, I also do the same, but it depends on the use case. More often than not, I hold it, although that can be not as helpful if I'm like trying to read something that's like on a table or like a piece of paper or something.
I found that if my hand's at all shaky too, that makes it difficult.
Yes, yeah.
For sure.
Because I have to not only move the phone, I also have to change the zoom around sometimes if print is smaller or larger.
Yes,
So
yeah.
I'm not knocking the magnifier app. It's actually really good for what it is. But case revision is sort of a natural next step, if you will, beyond that. So with that, we'd like to show you the original case for vision. So Melanie has brought the device up in front of the camera now. It is a case that wraps around your iPhone. This particular iPhone model is a 15, an iPhone 15. And then on the other side, on the bottom of it, there's a black casing that has legs that are stainless steel folded in. And the way the case for vision gets set up is just the legs themselves fold out.
Yep, I've unfolded them.
Okay. So now the legs are folded out, and Melanie's going to turn the phone back over. And the phone screen is active. And go ahead and close that first. I want to show them what it is.
Yep.
And then Case for Vision comes with its own magnifier app. You can use the regular iPhone magnifier too, but the Case for Vision app is calibrated specifically for the device.
How long are
So
the legs, Simon?
the legs are probably, I don't know, it raises the phone about 3 to 4 inches, I would think.
Okay.
I'm trying to give you some kind of comparison to it. We don't have any ruler nearby. I'm going to say it's probably about 5.5 inches long, not quite 6 inches, and it will bring the phone probably about 4 inches off the height of the
The
surface.
legs extend diagonally outward from the phone, so they're not straight up and
Right.
down.
Ah, okay.
They come out, which is useful because it gives more space underneath the phone for the thing that you're looking at.
So this is an 8.5 by 11 paper that I have underneath it, and there's still about 3 or 4 inches on either side of the 8.5.
So Simon, even for a non-magnifier user per se, this is a stand so that you can put your paper under it and you don't have to adjust it, correct?
You could use it that way.
Uh-huh.
I think, there are lots of other stands you can get for phones for
Okay.
that. This goes a lot further, as we'll see in a bit. But yeah, at a very basic level, you can use it for a stand that's comfortable and hands-free. The hands-free thing is what we're going to focus on initially. Do you want to launch the
You
app
want me to
now?
just, yep, I'll
Yep.
get the app going.
So there, Melanie's turning on the app. The Case Revision app and click at the X. So the home screen of the app is very straightforward. It has two options. It's a white background with two options, one labeled magnifier and the other labeled telescope. And so we'll start with the magnifier first. You just tap that option and then you should be able to. Everything okay?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not seeing
Yeah,
anything.
we should be able to see that.
Ah,
There
because
we
it
go.
was covered the camera.
Okay, yeah. There's a one moving part that we'll show you later. So now beneath the phone and the 4 inches
Get a little closer here.
between the stand and the paper, you can now see on the phone screen or on the phone screen now is shown a section of the paper beneath. And the neat thing about Case for Vision is that you can zoom in, and when you do that, you can not only zoom in on what's directly beneath the screen, but you can also pan around to other parts of paper that you're magnifying. This is all without having to move the paper or the phone. You just use familiar
Sorry.
swiping and pinching and zooming gestures. So Melanie has some of the text magnified now and is moving it back and forth. And the iPhone's super wide camera is what enables this. This is something that I have not seen in any other magnification solution, and I've tried a bunch of them. So it's pretty innovative that way.
I can bring it back in here.
The Case for Vision app has only four controls when the magnifier is engaged, and each of them is on at a corner of the app, which means a corner of your phone. That's pretty advantageous because you actually get a tactile cue as to where those buttons are, even though you can't see them. You at least know you're near them if you can feel the corner. So, going through these controls, at the top left is an X, which allows you to exit to the home screen. And then beneath that, the bottom left, there is a control that allows you to engage different filters when it's tapped. And this can be useful for different settings. There, Melanie just tapped it once, and it now is showing black text on white background, which is a higher contrast and useful to some folks. One of my favorites is if she taps it again, it goes to white on black, which is very high contrast. And again, you can zoom in and zoom out and pan around the contents of the document as well. So that's helpful. And then tapping that once more will give you a yellow on black setup, which is similar to the Windows high contrast mode. So, and then if you tap that again, it disables the filters and puts things back to normal. If you find yourself in a low light situation, say a dark restaurant, and you're trying to use this device to read a menu, there's also a flashlight icon that if you tap, turns on your device's flashlight, making the paper beneath or whatever you're looking at brighter. In this case, the paper we're looking at has sort of a glossy sheen to it, so it's not as useful as it could be. But that is helpful if you're in a dark area like a restaurant, like I said, or a utility room and trying to look at labels of some sort. And then finally, at the top right, there is this little icon with a picture of a snowflake on it. The idea there is that tapping that icon freezes the display underneath so that now if the paper or whatever's underneath the case was moved, the image on the screen remains the same, and you can continue to zoom in and pan around it as if it was still there. So that's useful if you want to look at something that needs to be moved before you're finished exploring it. Along with that, the flashlight button, when the freeze icon is engaged, turns into a little download arrow, which allows you to save the image on the screen to your photo library. So that can be useful as well if it's a piece of documentation that you won't have forever and you want to just grab a zoomed in portion of it. So what can you do with this? It's all nice, fine, and good that this apparatus exists. I want to tell you my story with it. I met Igor, the founder, at a conference called CSUN last year, and I tried his device out at the Case for Vision booth there, and I liked it, but I was more concerned with helping him make his website accessible because that's kind of my jam. But when I came home, I got my hands on one of these things, and it really impacted my life in a significant way because I found that I could start checking the mail on my own and reading letters. I could take objects like say this cough drop or something like that. I don't know if there's a label in there or
Wait,
anything.
I can put it under here.
And I could read labels on medicine bottles or cough drops. I don't know if that has
Yeah, let's
anything
put a
about it
little
where it's
label.
with a label on it. So I could see packing slips. On game night, I could play Monopoly and read the property card details by putting them, pulling them under the case for vision, and it was clear, and I didn't need help, which is useful for games, you know, like cards or whatever that you don't necessarily want to share. Is that a bill?
Well, I was just going to
Yeah,
show how you can read everything
sure.
more clearly than
Yeah.
previously.
So Melanie's placing another document beneath there, the case for
There's our
vision.
address in case you needed
Yeah.
it.
So yeah, take a screenshot quick, and you can send us all kinds of leftover Christmas gifts.
Simon, with the Monopoly with the orange cards,
Yeah.
you could read those. That
Yes.
so is there a way to, because the orange and the black don't contrast that much. Is
They don't. You can activate the contrast filters to do that, and it will either make them white on black or black on white,
Oh,
and
cool.
it takes care of you're talking about the chance and community chest
Yeah.
cards,
Well,
right?
the community chests are yellow. You
Yeah,
can read
yeah,
those, but the other ones were always harder to read.
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it works with games like Scattergories, where I'm writing, I'm trying to write my answers to next to the category names. Yeah, I've tried it with several board games, and it's really freeing that way. Good question. Any other questions so far? Okay. Well, now I want to show you, we want to show you the other half of case for vision, which is the telescope, the distance magnifier. So if Melanie hits the X, which she did,
Yeah.
and it goes back to the home screen, the other option here is telescope. Now, before you use the telescope, you need to activate one little piece of the case to enable it to work. On the bottom of the case, there's a little knob and tabby, I guess, that when you pull out and slide it towards your iPhone's camera lenses, it engages and opens this little reflective mirror lens. And so Melanie just did that, and so now the lens can is down at a 45-degree angle. So at this point, the distance magnification telescope is ready for use. And so if Melanie puts the case down again,
I'm just trying to get the angle so, because with the black on black, it's very hard to get a good image of
it's
it.
tricky.
I'm going to bring the legs back up so that I can freestand it. And I'm going to press the telescope.
Yep. So now you can adjust the angle of that mirror as necessary to look at things in the distance now. And so Melanie's turning that towards a map we have on our wall.
A little easier said than done.
Yeah.
There we go. As
Do you
said,
still have it on a stand or have you picked it up?
I've put it back on the stand. So I picked it up, I got that set up, and then I opened the stand again. But I don't need it on a stand. But I did put it back on the stand for simplicity's sake.
Yeah.
So if you were like in an ice cream shop where they list the flavors on the wall, you know
You
those
don't need the stand. You could hold it
yeah,
in your
so you
hand.
can just hold it. Because what my daughter does is she takes a picture of the wall and then she reads it on her phone
Yes.
because she can't see the wall. Are you able to actually eliminate the take the picture stage by using this?
Yes. Yes, I do the same thing where I will you know, you can do that. Having said that, if you're not using the stand, you run into the same challenges of having to hold the device steady, and you know, depending on how far away the menu is, it might be useful at least to engage the freeze image functionality. Anyway, the map's right here, and I think you should be. I'm putting my hand and pointing on the map, and my arm and hand are visible above it. So this map isn't too far away, probably like 5 feet maybe. But it you can see much further distance away. I've used it probably to magnify things about, I don't know, what's the window over there? 15 feet away, 20 feet away, maybe.
Yeah, and you use it for watching television.
I find it very useful. Our TV is across the room from our couch, and if I aim this thing at the television, I don't have to get up and go close to the TV to see what's going on. I can stay seated on the couch and point the Case for Vision camera in telescope mode at the area of the television that I really want to look at. So, say there are captions I want to read or something going on in a corner of the screen.
And it really the reproduction well from like one screen to the screen on the camera to come up to your screen is it doesn't quite do it justice as to the sharpness and the clarity that is on this screen when you're looking at it directly. Because as I'm seeing it here at what it looks like on the computer monitor is really faint in comparison to what it looks like. I'm a school teacher, and this similar feature is on an iPad, and it is a great option for students because instead of the students having to get close to the board, you know, it puts sort of the board in the student's hand, right? They can hold it. They don't have to come rush. They don't have to be seated right next to the board to see what's going on. It moves what is far away right into their hand, to whatever they're holding. They can see it. It brings that image, right to them. And so it really, I think, has that a really great feature if you need to be seeing something from a distance, a television screen, a menu on the wall,
A
you know.
lecture,
Yep.
a teacher or a presentation. In fact, in the telescope mode, there is a recording option which allows you to take a video of what's being presented or whatnot. There's a video recorder icon, and so now it's recording my arm over the map a little bit, and then when Melanie taps that icon again, it stops the recording and gives her the option either to save or discard that video. You can just discard it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. You also have the same ability to freeze the image and to do different filters on the image, though I haven't found that to be quite as useful. White on black
Oh,
on
how
a
did I do that?
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, sorry. No, my fault. Ah, my fault, my fault. The filters.
So
Yeah, filtering the distance
distance
and then.
isn't quite as useful. I haven't found a reason for that yet. I suppose if I had to read text that was washed out, it might be interesting to try. So that's the initial Case for Vision. This one was released a couple years ago, and as I mentioned, it works with iPhone 15 and iPhone 16 models. It's got stainless steel legs and a really nice body. One thing people noticed, though, is that it was a little bulky, particularly for guys who wanted to carry it in their pocket. It just kind of didn't fit there as well. And so Case for Vision came up with a another gadget like that, that is lighter weight and a bit more versatile. You can use an iPhone from
Yeah,
any point.
I will do that. Just
Just look at it from.
closing that up for you. And you want me to put on.
Well, show the MagSafer. So this is called Case for Vision MagSafe. It is a very similar shaped case, except that there aren't the side walls on the foot to hold the phone in place. It's carbon fiber, so it's a little bit lighter. But the way this one works is it uses a magnet to hold your phone in place. And so Melanie's going to put that in. You heard that snap there. So the phone is now attached to the MagSafe, and it's a very sturdy hold. Like she's shaking it right now, and the MagSafe, the phone isn't going anywhere. It's a very strong magnet. You can release it by just pushing on the area where your lenses are on the bottom of the phone to pop it out. And it comes out fairly straightforward.
Simon does it more often than I
Yeah,
do.
there you
Yes.
go. You got it. Okay. So this is just this, it's the same kind of thing. It's got the legs that pop out. And it works the same way with the app. It's just a bit more flexible in that it will fit in your pocket more easily. And it works with many more iPhone models. It will work with some of the 12s, the 13s, I believe the 14s and the 17s, which is actually pretty good.
I
The
was
only
going to
thing
ask about the 17.
one disclaimer about the 17. David Morrison was really interested in this, and he had a 17 Air, which is sort of the entry model on that level. And unfortunately, the Air doesn't have the same wide, super wide angle camera as the other phones, so it won't work. None of them will work with that particular model,
The
because
air.
the Air, the 17 Air. However, the
Sort of a
regular
black sheep
17,
of the iPhone 17.
it kind of is. Yeah, it's kind of like the iPhone SE of the 17 thing. So we were bummed about that. He
Not
really
as
liked
good.
it and was actually getting some use out of it, even with the figurative camera. But we just didn't feel like the product was living up to what we'd promised, and so we gave him his money back. So no offense, iPhone 17 Air, but get a better camera.
But it will work with the regular 17 models,
Yep, it'll
the
work with this
MagSafe.
the seven yep the 17, the 17 Pro, 17 Pro Max.
Awesome.
And there are actually a couple models, since those phones are different sizes, one for smaller and one for larger.
By the
So
way, Apple Viz, which is this very active community, really kind of dissed the Air. They
yeah.
didn't like it very much.
The
Yeah.
Apple
Sort
community
of
really
everybody did.
dissed the
They're
Air.
not even making it
Yeah.
anymore.
How are we doing on time, folks? It's
30,
7:33 now. I don't want to
8:33.
8:33 now. I don't want to go too long if there's other things to talk about. I know Diana, you had some stuff to talk about with the ACP low
Yeah, but
vision.
that won't take a half hour.
Okay. All right. We can.
Simon, this is Nona. I have a quick question. What is the battery drain like when you're using this? I mean, how is that on the
Yeah,
battery?
that's a good question. So the device itself doesn't take any battery. It's totally analog. The battery drain will come from the use of your camera on the app. So, and it depends. Like if you're doing a video recording, that will drain it even faster. So it depends on what your phone is ranked with in terms of how battery lasts when the camera is on. At a minimum, several hours for phone batteries that are fully charged. It really depends on the state of the battery. But the case itself doesn't use any power at all.
Do
I've
you keep
never
it on
heard
your
you.
phone? Oh, go ahead, Nora.
I was just going to say, I've never heard Simon complain that it's eating his battery.
Okay, that's good.
It's all about the amount that you're using it, and when he uses it, it's usually in shorter bursts, unless he was to be like recording a lecture.
Or watching TV. Or
Yeah.
watching TV.
Right.
Could you at some point give the contact information?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay.
Yes.
Simon, do you keep it on your phone all the time, or do you keep it in a little carrying case and just magnetize it on there when you need it?
That is a great question, Myron. I'm going to answer that right now. So the MagSafe, I could keep it on my phone. However, there's another product that Case for Vision released earlier this year that I find even better. Can you show them this?
Yeah.
This is called Case for Vision Ergo, Ergo as in ergonomic. And all it is this little plastic, I don't know, sheet or something, that has on one side just a very flat surface where it will attach to the back of my phone. And on the front, there is a little kickstand, or flipper, as Melanie likes to call it, that will angle the phone. And so
Sorry.
this is my preferred device, and I'll show you why. So can you,
Like a little binder clip
yeah, pretty
that
much it,
kind
yeah.
of. I was gonna say it looks like a binder clip. Yeah.
Little binding clip that flips it out. So this just slaps on to the back of your phone.
It's
It's
magnetic.
magnetic, and it doesn't even cover half the phone. It's got like an elongated piece on the side of the phone beneath the camera lenses, and that's so that the mirror can be deployed. And then there's a larger half circle piece that goes over the center of the iPhone, and that's for balance and for placement of the flipper binder clip kickstand thing. So yeah, if we can try this one out, that would be.
You want to just use the magnifier part, or do you want to use the telescope part?
Let's start with the magnifier just because I want to show how this is used.
Okay. I'm trying to remember your. Okay, I'm letting him put his password
Yeah,
in. I don't remember it.
my phone locked. So 1 second here. Maybe less on me like that. Okay, good. All right, here you go.
All
So
right.
Safe Vision is down on the bottom left
Yeah.
corner there. Okay. So now Melanie's launching the Case for Vision app,
Yeah.
and you've extended the kickstand binder clip flipper thing, right?
I have not. Let's put
Okay.
that back on.
So what this will do is allow the iPhone to now rest at an angle above the piece of paper that it's over. And the app has the same features, but now what's happening is that there's a smaller part of the paper underneath that's in view. And that can be zoomed in and whatnot. But the neat thing here is that you can actually slide the phone around to view different portions of the page. So it's not quite as hands-free, but it's much more mobile. I use this all the time with reading menus or just skimming documents or perusing labels or reading my credit card information. It's very handy for that. It's got the same filters for black on white on black, yellow on black. It's got the flashlight, which can be very useful in darker settings. It's got the ability to freeze the image as before. And I use this so much that it stays on my phone all the time. So to your question, Myra, if this is so small, it's less than half an inch thick, so it really doesn't add any bulk or weight to my phone whatsoever. And if it's not on my phone, I kind of think like something's missing, and I'm like, oh no, what if I need to like look at something close up? I'll use the MagSafe for more thorough exploration of documents or for game nights, like I mentioned, because it just got more room underneath. But I use Ergo almost all the time because it's always with me.
The
So.
Ergo looks perfect for reading menus because, like, when I'm at a restaurant, I have my phone in my hand. I'm using the magnifier on my phone. I'm trying to get a good angle. Half the time, the lighting is terrible. And it's just like all these things are conspiring against me to be able to read this menu. And that little device, the way that it just props up the phone, in landscape mode like that, to be able to read, I think that's like perfect for reading type tasks.
Yeah, I found the same. That's been my experience as
Are
well.
you able to keep your phone in a case if you
Yes.
have it?
Yes. So there are cases that will work with Ergo, but the nice thing about all the Case for Vision models is they'll send you a case that is guaranteed to work. So if you have your own case, chances are it will work. A lot of them that I've tried do like this is my case, but we'll send you one as well. All the products include that, so that's a good question.
So I'm just pulling his case off to show you that it's just a regular pop on and off iPhone case. It doesn't have anything particularly fancy about it.
Just the magnet will work through the case, and with the case that comes with Case for Vision,
Sorry.
there's a little hole drilled in just the right place to make sure the magnet can attach fully and completely. Can we try the distance magnification now?
Yep, let me put everything back together here. Gotta clean out this case, honey.
Yeah.
I have a question. This is Diana.
Yeah, sure.
So I think that when I saw this at the ACB convention this past summer in Dallas, he showed that it could do split view, like up close and distance. Is that a thing, or did I make that up?
I think you might have made that up. That's been a request.
Okay. Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah, no problem. We've heard it and we'd like to do it. The challenge with that is that in order to engage distance mode, you need to use the mirror. And
Right.
for magnification mode or local mode, you can't have the mirror. So there's a little bit of an engineering challenge there to get that working. But that's definitely something that is, you're not the only one to
Oh, it came back on.
mention that. Yeah.
I thought.
No, I'm glad I have my facts straight. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now, Melanie, the last thing we're going to show you with Ergo is just its version of the telescope function. And the neat thing about the angle of it resting on that kickstand is that you actually have more flexibility with the angle that you're aiming the telescope at. It's not flush 90 degrees and parallel with the flat surface beneath it. You can
I'm trying,
change it.
yeah, I'm trying to get the map and not get my shoulder.
Yeah.
Here is the map.
So the map is being displayed now. I don't know if you can see my arm in there.
Yep.
Yeah. And so this is nice. This one is my preferred means of watching TV. Our television is mounted on the wall, and so it's not directly perpendicular to where the case for vision would be if I was sitting on my couch. But due to the angle that it's mounted at, I can move the mirror just how I need it so that it can be I can see the TV.
I'm trying to not stick my finger in there too much to block it, but
Yeah.
that is the map. Just not a super great angle given our tight space here.
Yeah. So, and again, the app continues to have the record functionality here, the filters, and the freeze ability. So, yeah. So this is my favorite of the devices.
And of course, it's the smallest, so it is the easiest to travel with, to keep in your pocket or your purse.
All right. Someone mentioned that their daughter has an iPad. Is that you, Myra? I'm sorry. Okay. So I just want to take a really brief second and show you the iPad solution for this. So we have an 11-inch iPad here. And go ahead and turn it over so they can see the bottom is shown. Okay, so this is another carbon fiber product, and it's got legs as well on the bottom, and these legs are significantly wider than the iPhone one, which makes sense. But it's very handy for students who are looking at textbooks. It can straddle two pages of an open textbook, which is really neat. We've got images on the website to show that, and also in some videos we've made. So that's good. It does lift the device up higher. So
I'm trying to get all the things in the shot at the same time.
yeah, that's good for you.
Oh, this keeps timing itself
Turning
out.
itself out, right? So Melanie's just getting the
A case for
sort of
vision.
far left there, I think.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay, the same app works on the iPad as on the iPhone. So on the home screen, there's magnifier and telescope. And so she's got the magnifier engaged. And this is much easier to see. There's a larger screen now, showing the papers underneath. And again, you can zoom in and make use of the scrolling and panning and whatnot. The app works exactly the same, and it's very useful for reading textbooks. Now, on the for the distance mode, the you can use the legs of the iPad as the other case provision models, but the iPad version also has a kickstand of its own on the bottom.
Okay, go back to that. Yep, I'm just gonna close out here.
And so if she folds the legs inward at the bottom, I guess,
Yes.
there's this circular kickstand that pops out and allows you to prop the iPad at an angle similar to how Case Provision Ergo worked.
So a lot of phones have this sort of pop socket thing that comes up here, and it allows me to tilt the iPad and have it at an angle.
This is useful for many reasons. Again, you get the ability to change the angle of the mirror underneath. Do you engage the mirror? I don't know if you did or not.
No, I had it closed just when I was putting the legs down. Do you want me to go in telescope mode?
Go to telescope mode. The nice thing about this is that you can change the angle of the mirror. The other thing is that it's very inconspicuous, much less conspicuous than the legs being out. And like Melanie was talking about, bringing the board to the student is very well. It's very easy. It's simple, and it's not as noticeable because kids can be difficult about this sort of thing. At least that was my experience growing
Yeah,
up.
a lot of my low vision students do not want anyone to note the differences in their sight.
Yeah, that was me growing up.
Sure. And most kids don't want to be perceived as different. And so this really again brings the board right to the kid's hands rather than bringing the kid right up to the board. And so I think that's one of the nicest things about it on an iPad in particular is that it's such a big screen in their hand. And then,
And the resolution is really good too. I mean, you can even see the difference if you are able to see the difference. There's my hand is a bit more bit less blurry, I guess, over the map.
a lot of schools, of course, kids aren't allowed to use or carry phones anymore. But usually they're allowed assistive devices, particularly like an iPad. So this is a nice little option. And the iPad size hasn't changed over many models. So this is one that the technology hasn't changed that much. They can use the tall stand if they want, or they can use the small little pop socket kind of foldable stand here. That's much lower to the desk or the table and have more options with less conspicuousness.
So
I'm
that's
wondering if we might be able to wrap up this segment fairly
Yes.
soon. Yes,
Yes,
this has been fabulous,
we're
really.
just about
You're
done now.
a good pair.
And
Oh, thanks.
these things really, I feel like a demo like this is okay, but you really need to be able to try them out to see for yourself if it's for you. Diana, you got to demo one at ACB, I think you said.
He was in the exhibit hall. My phone, I still haven't gotten a new phone, but it's not compatible. It's too old, and it's not MagSafe. But my ex was there with me, and we stuck his phone in the MagSafe thing. And it was really cool to be able to see that. I didn't know about the Ergo. And I don't know if he had one to show, but I did get to test out the case one and the MagSafe version.
The Ergo works with all kinds of different versions of the phone too, going back to the 12s. So when you do get a new phone, it'll probably be you can chat with me if you want, and we can make sure it's a version that will work. Most of them do, though. So if you'd like more information, you can go to caseforvision.com. That's CASEFORVISION.com. All the products are displayed there. We have demo videos that we put together. There's a fun story behind that. We had, for those of you who may remember, Precious Perez. She and her band sang and played on it. So it was definitely a nothing about us without us kind of thing. Precious is a blind singer-songwriter, instrumentalist, if you don't know. I'd invite you to check that out. And love to get one of these in people's hands if they'd like to try it first, or try it out. And then that's what we've got for this. Any
Simon,
questions?
bring it to the spring convention.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I can bring it on Saturday if anybody's in, if anybody is interested is going to be there
I'm
at the
sure
meet
people
together with
would.
you.
Sure. So
Yeah.
once people go to the website and they're interested, do you have like a 14-day trials or something like that? And how do
So yeah, so right now,
I'm gonna put you on screen.
yeah, right now the right now
We
the
are.
yeah, here we are. Right now the there's not a 14-day trial per se. There is a money back guarantee. So if you get one and it doesn't work, you can return it for a full refund, no questions asked. I am working on a trial period as well. That's a bit challenging just because of shipping and whatnot, and the web platform being persnickety about, hey, you didn't pay for us. It was this a real order type of thing. But my experience is that you really need to try this to understand how revolutionary it is. And I don't
Yeah,
use that term
sure.
lightly. Yeah, thanks. I don't use that term lightly. It really changed my life for the better. So.
Simon, are you aware that Perkins has kind of they kind of I forgot what the name of what it's
The
called.
Internet of Things.
Or library
The
of
Library of Things. That's what it
things.
is. Library of Things. Yes.
In which you can have your item demoed and where people can come in and actually, check it out and get their hands on. Yeah,
I
you
am
know
aware
what
of that.
I mean. Okay.
Igor actually used to work at Perkins, and so he's talked to them about that. I've spoken with Cody over there, and he's interested in getting
Corey.
Corey. Yeah, sorry,
Cool.
Corey.
Corey.
Yes, and he's interested in getting a model
Yeah, he
there.
thinks so.
So it's definitely one of those things that is in progress. There's just a lot of different opportunities and places, and this is a fairly niche item. So, it'll work for some folks, but if you don't have an iPhone right now, it doesn't work in that sense. But if you do, which I think most low vision and blind people do have iPhones, at least the data I've seen show, it's definitely worth looking into. So,
Right.
my two cents.
Do you know when you're going to have the Android version?
It's still on the list of things. I would love to say, we hope to start working on it later this year.
Okay.
We have some other things that need to go into the app first,
Okay.
and we're
That's
still
fine.
working on getting enough traction to make sure that people know about it. Just getting the word out is the most important thing. And because you really need to experience it firsthand, it's hard to show it unless you're actually at one of these conferences like the ACB conference or CSUN or something like that.
Well, thank you very much, Simon and Melanie. This is cool.
Awesome.
Very
Thank
cool.
you.
Very,
Thanks for
very
the
cool. Thank you so
opportunity.
much. Yeah.
And
Yes.
please reach out if you have any questions. I'll have this with me. Like at the events that we do, the New Year's celebration. I'll bring it to the spring convention and anything else that's going on that people are interested in. So,
Okay.
thanks.
All right, Diana, you're up.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So, since we talked about that, and we're going to be now pivoting to something else low vision related. So, CCLVI is an ACB Special Interest Affiliate, Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. However, an official announcement I don't think has been made yet. So, some of you might be the first to hear this. We recently changed our name. We had a special membership meeting this past Saturday. And changed the name from Council of Citizens with Low Vision International to Low Vision Alliance. This rolls off the tongue more. It is more conducive for filling out forms for grants because some of them have character limits. Still an ACB special interest affiliate for people with low vision. Nothing else about the mission statement has changed, just the name. Right now, if you want to learn about what Low Vision Alliance is, you can go to cclvi.org. The website will be changing over probably in June, prior to the start of the convention. But right now, everything is still at cclvi.org. To full disclosure, I am on the board currently for CCLVI. I'm a director. I also sit on their e-communications committee, and I work with another member on the website, similar to what I do for Bay State. And I also am the convention chair. So we do have programming during the national convention, both during the virtual week and hybrid week. We usually do one virtual event that is during the virtual week, in addition to our annual business meeting, which is also full virtual via Zoom. And then once we are in the location for the convention in person that year, we have one hybrid event, which is usually a speaker or a panel of members, and several in-person events. This year in St. Louis, we are going to be reprising our popular game night as well as dance. Last couple of years, we played Family Feud for game night. It was very well attended. This year, I think we're doing something new. I don't know quite what yet, but we are also going to be having the dance as well. Those will both be in person only in St. Louis. If you want to join, the membership dues are $15 per year, or a life membership is $150 per year. We also put out a quarterly newsletter called Vision Access, which is sent via email to the CCLVI email lists. And if you would like a hard copy, it is also mailed out in large print. We recently redesigned the cover. By that, I mean we chose color-coordinated color cover options for each quarter of the newsletter to kind of correspond with each season. So if you do have a hard copy, you will see that fun color. For example, I got our November issue in the mail. The cover is orange for fall. The one for winter, I think, is blue. I was one of 6 or 8 people who helped choose the cover for this because everybody has differing degrees of vision loss, and some of us see colors slightly differently. During the year, not throughout convention, we have several Zoom community call events that you might see on ACB's community call list. Patty Cox, the current president, runs a game night that she does twice monthly on the second and fourth Mondays. There's also a book club that meets now, currently, on the third Thursday of every month. There are other things that happen as well, such as Let's Talk Low Vision, where usually we will be discussing a topic like assistive technology, or sometimes there will be a speaker from the low vision world, like a low vision specialist or somebody of that nature. There is a Facebook page where you can keep up with what's going on. Again, currently everything is still branded as Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, but the rebranding committee is working on changing all of that over, as well as designing a new logo. Much like any of the other ACB affiliates, we're member-driven, so your dues, much like with Bay State, will give you the opportunity to vote in elections, as well as make sure that you're up to date on all the happenings going on, and you will get our newsletter via email at the very least. Of course, if you want it hard copy, it will be sent out to your address. That will probably be the one on file with ACB. I think I hit pretty much everything on the head.
Diana, yes. One question that I have, are what advocacy issues?
So right now, a timely thing is...
And by the way, I like the name change. I think that's a fabulous idea.
I do too.
Yeah.
Long overdue. I do too, trust me.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. right now, a very timely thing is the font change.
Oh, yeah.
There's a letter currently being revised by several people. I think that the government official, the government employees affiliate helped in collaboration with writing this, as well as I think AAVL and maybe one other affiliate. I know there were individuals that were involved in crafting this letter. I was not one of them. But it is being revised to be sent regarding the font change from Calibri to, I think, Times New Roman or whatever they're trying to do. Because the font that they were using prior, the Calibri, however you want to say it, was much easier for not only low vision folks to read, but also people who had other print disabilities, such as dyslexia, just because of the way that the letters are formed with the font. Low Vision Alliance also helped craft the large print guidelines that are put in place by the ACB Board of Publications. So official things that are sent out, not only via email, but also like in print, should follow the large print guidelines. Information on what those are also on the CCLVI website. I know I keep going back and forth between the two names. I apologize. Those are two of the very more like timely advocacy, timely advocate related things. We also have a magnification award where a committee will accept applications. It hasn't started yet. The application period, I think, starts in April for a magnifier. This could range from a video magnifier to an iPad to be used as a magnifier or any other device. It depends on what whether donations have been made for the committee to use or where the funding is regarding purchasing iPads and such. So there is an application process and individuals interested can apply. There's a little interview and typically that would be when the applicant would state which kind of device they want based on what is available. For example, last year in 2025, the award gave out a CCTV to a high school student, as well as two video magnifiers, I believe one to a an incoming college freshman, and the other to another individual, more portable. And there is also the Fred Scheigert Scholarship, which is for students. There are two incoming freshman scholarships, one undergrad and one graduate scholarship awarded to applicants. The application period for that is going on right now. And the students who receive those after going through the process and the interview and such will also be required to go to the ACB National Convention, much like ACB's scholarship winners. And that is great because it also gives them membership for a year to CCLVI or Low Vision Alliance to be able to participate in any events and Zoom calls and things like that.
That's great, Diana. Thank you.
No problem.
I would love more information on this. I'm new to the ACB. ACB, as you know, and the BSCB, but this sounds like a really good organization as well.
Yeah. So the fun thing is there are also state affiliates, Florida, Kentucky, California, New York, and the Delaware Valley.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. All have affiliates with Low Vision Alliance. The Delaware Valley one is called Low Vision Now. It used to be called Delaware Valley Council, I believe, of Citizens with Low Vision. If there is interest in potentially starting a Massachusetts affiliate, I think that would be like very, you know, we could get the ball rolling on that. I think there would be enough individuals with low vision to be a part of that. This would also give the Massachusetts affiliate, per se, a delegate vote at the specifically the business meeting for Low Vision Alliance, not like the general ACB national voting that we do at convention. But when we conduct our business meetings, whether it's the annual one or the one that we just had for the name change, we did it like ACB does, where we take the individual vote and then take the votes from the state affiliates. Of course, votes for each affiliate are determined by the number of members. So typically they have like one or two votes just based on their member size. But you could become a member at large as well, much like I'm a member at large of Bay State. I'm not in a local chapter. And like I said, the website for that currently is cclvi.org. You will see all of the governing documents, like the constitution and bylaws, as well as the current slate of officers and directors. And also, all of our committee calls are open to anyone to come to. The Zoom links for those are sent out with the weekly Zoom roundup email that they do at the beginning of each week or on each weekend, that's sent out to the members' email lists.
Diana, is there any, what's the word? Not restriction, I don't know if the right word is. Low vision could encompass a lot. You don't need to be legally blind.
I mean, we have members who are completely blind.
Okay, but I guess low vision in this purpose could be legally blind or
yes,
more vision than that.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, for example, okay. The person that I do the AMCO webmaster with, she used to be sighted. She lost all of her vision, so she's completely blind. There are definitely people who have more vision than others. I mean, I definitely sit in the middle of like the blindness spectrum. There are members who they can drive with like the bioptic glasses. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. but low vision definitely encompasses a lot. And there are members who are legally blind or who have no vision.
Excellent. Any other questions from anyone? Very good summary. It's a very active affiliate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very active.
Very active. Yes. Yes. All right then. Thank you all for coming. And
it was great.
It was very good. And stay warm. It's supposed to be very cold tomorrow morning.
I know it's cold here too. It was like here where I am, it's going to go down to 28. I think it's going to be colder for you guys probably.
Yeah, yeah. With the wind chill especially. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we might get a little snow over the weekend too.
So. Yeah, just a tad. Yeah. All right. Thank you all very much.